Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, welcome to our second day of talks. This year's discussion is Timeless Truths. And what we're doing is we're trying to take relevant lessons from the Qiyam of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn, lessons that would apply to us in the year 2020. Yesterday, we learned about oppression and the idea that oppression in Islam is a three-headed monster. There is the zalim and there are the enablers of the zalim. And those people are also partners in the crime of the zalim. We are going to be talking, inshallah, today about the people who willingly accept oppression. Tomorrow, inshallah, if Allah gives tawfiq, we need to talk about those people who are spectators. But let's listen and learn from the words of Imam Hussein. What did Imam Hussein say about those who are indifferent when it comes to oppression? مَنْ رَأَى سُلْطَانًا جَائِرًا مُسْتَحِلًّا لِحُرُمِ اللَّهِ. Whoever sees a tyrant who takes what Allah has considered haram, halal. نَاكِثًا لِأَهْدِ اللَّهِ. This person breaks the covenant of Allah. مُخَالِفًا لِسُنَّةِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. Who disobeys the sunnah of Rasulullah, يَعْمَلُ فِي عِبَادِ اللَّهِ بِالْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ, who deals with the servants of Allah unjustly and with oppression. The Imam talks about those who see this and don't do anything. ثُمَّ لَمْ يُغَيِّرْ بِقَوْلِ. They don't say anything. وَلَا فِعْلِ. They don't do anything. What happens to that spectator? كان حقيقا على الله أن يدخله مدخلا. It is right for God to put that person who is indifferent in the same place as the tyrant. So right now, brothers and sisters, it's the ninth day when we and the whole world are watching the defenseless people in Gaza. 9 days that they are being bombarded. Not only that, the cowardly Israeli regime blocked them from the sea. No way of getting them humanitarian aid, no way of them fishing for themselves. Those people who watch and don't speak out. And now this is Muharram. This is the time to speak out. This is the time to stand up against oppression. By the way, brothers and sisters, in Islam, it's not limited to the Muslims who are oppressed. Us reciting these majalis is not just a culture, something we do culturally. We're looking at ourselves. We're trying to better ourselves. What we learn from the ahadith of Ahlul Bayt, and we learned this from Imam Hussein himself yesterday, the worst type of dhulm or oppression that someone can do is when you oppress the person who doesn't have anyone to defend them but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oppression of the defenseless is something God gets furious about. And Allah has special wrath for those who oppress women and children. This is now from Imam Al-Kadhim. The mu'min should never be like this. The mu'min is never someone who oppresses the women and children in his life. Inna Allah Azza wa Jal, this is from Imam Kadhim. Truly Allah Azza wa Jal لَيْسَ يَغْضَبُ لِشَيْءٍ, doesn't get angry for anything, كَغَضَبِهِ لِلنِّسَاءِ وَالصِّبْيَانِ, like the anger that Allah has reserved for those people who oppress women and children. By the way, this kind of oppression of the defenseless, whether it be in Kashmir, whether it be in Bahrain, whether it be in Yemen, or what those Israelis are doing to the Palestinians, or God forbid, we as Muslims doing in our own families. These are punishments which sometimes Allah doesn't make wait until the hereafter. He says, مَنْ كَانَ لَهُ إِمْرَأَةٌ, whoever has a wife, تُؤْذِي, she torments him, she's a ظَالِمَة, لَمْ يَقْبَلَ اللَّهُ صَلَاتَهَا, Allah won't accept her prayers, وَلَا حَسَنَةً مِنْ عَمَلِهَا, none of her hasanat will be accepted. حَتَّى تُعِينَهُ وَتُرْضِيَهُ, until she helps him, until she makes him pleased with her. وَإِنْ صَامَتِ الدَّهْرِ, even if she fasts her entire lifetime, and frees slaves and spends money in the way of Allah. وَكَانَتْ أَوَّلُ مَنْ تَرِدَ النَّارِ, she will actually be the first person who will enter into the fire of hell. Islam takes loam very seriously. And then the Prophet said, if there's a man, a father, he's the same way. Good mu'min, practicing, revolutionary. He is like this. Mu'dhiyan, dhalima, he has the exact same punishment. In Islam, there is no room for being dhalim. Now, today our discussion is about being a madhloom who accepts it. The second enabler is the madhloom who takes it, who thinks it's my lot in life. I can't stand up to the dhalim. I can't push back. And by the way, there are people, and we have to be careful about this, who encourage us not to stand up to the dhalim. Don't poke the bear. Don't push back. The dhalim's too big. What did Imam Hussein, what are the words of Imam Hussein when it came to those who said, don't push back? We're learning from the Imam. By the way, I'm going to address, inshallah, maybe not today, meaning I won't be able to cover all of these points today. There are rules when it comes to the enemies of Allah. There are also rules when it comes to fellow Muslims, family members. Sometimes they are dhalimeen. Later on in this speech, what have the Ahlul Bayt taught us when dealing with a dhalim family member? We're going to find out their rules. And there's questions that might come to our minds. Well, what about those ahadith about universal forgiveness? We're supposed to unilaterally forgive. What about that? What about, is it just all is fair in love and war? Just, no, we don't take out dhul-fikar for the Muslims, but we do have to find out how to push back. But right now, let's go step by step and kind of learn the primary rules. In Islam, we're not supposed to be madhloom. We're not supposed to accept it. Imam Ali says this, رُدُّ الْحَجَرْ مِنْ حَيْثُ جَاءَ. If somebody throws a rock at you, you throw the rock right back. It's not holy as a Muslim to sit down. Because people will tell you, well, you should be the bigger man. Let it go. Why do you have a chip on your shoulder? Is that an Islamic stance? Imam Hussein, before he set out to Kufa, apparently at this time, he's in Mecca. And Abdullah bin Umar comes over to him to talk to Imam Hussein, to talk him out of it. And he tells Imam Hussein, don't give these wild people a reason to shed your blood. We can resolve this. You don't have to make bay'ah. Leave him alone. Who knows? Maybe God will get rid of Yazid. He'll die. You won't have to take him on. Don't poke the bear. When he told Imam Hussein that, فَقَالَ الْحُسَيْنِ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ أُفٍّ لِهَذَا الْكَلَامِ, shame on you for saying those words. It's not holy in Islam to say, well, I can't take on the dhalim, I'll just sit. Before the Battle of Karbala began, Imam Hussein gave a fiery khutbah. This is on the day of Ashura. He gave a fiery khutbah and he introduced himself to the people. His status as the grandson of the Prophet. Some of the people who were listening told the Imam to back down. Just submit to the rule of your cousin. Don't fight back against the dhalim. They won't do anything bad to you. What Imam Hussein said was this, La wallah, I swear by Allah, La u'tikum biyadi i'ta'a dhalil, I will never give you my hand like the giving of a person who is humiliated and despicable. وَلَا أَفِرُّ فَرَارَ الْعَبِيدِ Nor will I run away like a slave. This is the mantiq of Hussein, the logic of Hussein, which is the logic of Quran. When it comes to the enemies of Islam, Allah doesn't like it. It's not holy to turn the other cheek. I want to share a verse of Quran. This is Surah Baqarah, and verse 194. When it comes to a dhalim, an oppressor, Islam doesn't say, turn the cheek, be the bigger man. Allah says, فَمَنْ اَعْتَدَى عَلَيْكُمْ Whoever transgress over your rights, whoever is harsh with you, فَاعْتَدُوا عَلَيْهِ بِمِثْلِ مَعْتَدَى عَلَيْكُمْ You strike back the same way that he struck you. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ But be wary of God. وَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الْمُتَّقِينَ And know that Allah is with those who are God-weary. So we aren't free to just do anything. We're always present or in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we're told to push back. We learned this lesson from Imam Khomeini. May Allah... It's not good for us, even emotionally, spiritually, psychologically, to be people who just take it. Sometimes you'll find, if someone hasn't learned in the house, that I'm to be respected. I'm to stand up. I'm to speak when I'm supposed to, when I'm mistreated. This person, sometimes outwardly, they'll be very mu'addab, very quiet, very calm, always smiling. But sometimes it comes out in a very ugly way. Because I've been mistreated, I've never learned to push back. And we need to talk about, how do I push back in the family? How do I exercise proactive patience? We need to learn these things. But if I've never learned that, and I've just learned, be a good guy, be the good girl, don't speak. If I've never learned, sometimes when the person does show their rage, it's terrifying. The person might even surprise them. If they don't, and we break the spirit of the person, then the person might get depressed. If they just take it inward, they're mistreated. I should be at least speaking back respectfully. I don't. And by the way, women are they play a very big role in creating this culture of pushing back appropriately with taqwa. With taqwa. That it's okay, I'm raised with dignity. If you mistreat me, then I'm going to say a little something. I might wait. We're going to talk about proactive patience. Does it mean I just go off, I rip my house apart, I'm going to stand against Dhulm, my husband is Yazid, my wife is Shimr? No. There's a way of doing these things. But if I haven't learned this, where do we learn this? In our homes, from our mothers. In the Islamic Republic, on a social level, when the women joined the harakah, when they joined the movement, that's when you saw the pillars of the Shah crumple. The women joined, the men then came out even more in numbers, and then the Shah, he collapsed. This is actually akhlaqi. Far from it being, well, be the bigger man, sit down, take it. That's your lot in life. From an akhlaqi point of view, maybe many of us have read Dua Makarim al-Akhlaq from Imam Zainul Abidin. Dua of Makarim al-Akhlaq. One of the things he asks Allah for is this, وَاجْعَلْ لِي يَدًا God, give me a hand, عَلَى مَنْ ظَلَمَنِي On the one who does dhulm to me. Against the one who does dhulm to me. So, there are always ways of pushing back. On an international level, then that's one responsibility that we have. When we're dealing with the enemies of God, when we're dealing with domestic oppression, then that's another one. And by the way, what happens is, what we do have to do when we're facing oppression at home is that we do have to shake the tree. If you and I want the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Islam doesn't teach us that we sit down and we pray and we ask Allah for help and then we just expect that miraculously God will just make miracles happen. Even when Allah, was talking to his awliya. We're now talking about people who are on the level of Sayyida Maryam. Sayyida Maryam, Allah wants to give her fruit. Allah wants to give her fruit miraculously. But in Surah Maryam, God tells her to shake the tree. You have to do your part. We're not actually waiting on any other human being because Allah controls our destiny. What God wants is with taqwa. Did I do my part? He tries to accomplish his goals bima'siyatillah. But he says, I'm going to take a shortcut. They did wrong, I'm going to do wrong. They've disobeyed Allah, even Stephen. That person who does this, the Imam says, kana afwata lima yarju. They're more likely to lose that thing that they were hoping for. Wa asra'a limaji'i ma yahdhar. And more likely to bring on that bala that they were waiting for. Let me just mention a practical point before we go over the practical lesson from Imam Sadiq. What happens is, if you and I are dealing with a family member and someone who has a habit of misbehaving and doing wrong, and then we decide to go ahead and get our rights, but we do it in the wrong way. What happens is, amongst families, sometimes it takes time for someone to heal. We have a family, we have a situation which was very tense. My wife, my husband, my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters. These individuals have done wrong, but we're in Muslim, Shia, family, believers. With these individuals, if I try to address the situation right now, we're going to change this, and I don't go over and make sure the person feels loved, feels heard, wait till the appropriate time, wait till they can hear me and understand me, but I just say, I'm going to make this happen, even if the family falls apart. Not practicing proactive patience is actually dangerous. That's not good. We have to practice.